Thank you. Thank you. Sorry to keep you guys waiting. We'll get out to lunch, coffee soon, I promise. All right. Quick word this morning. We're gonna hit you. We're gonna tag team. So it all starts, and the reason for this message comes from a conversation I was having with my devout Muslim neighbor, Nadim. He's a neighbor and a friend. We were out playing squash, and I'd left Susan at home with the kids, as I always do when I play squash. And I got there, and I'm saying to him in between our games, I'm just a little bit worried about whether Susan's having a good night with the kids, whether they're giving her a little bit of freedom to rest and get things done that she needs to get done. And I hadn't heard from her, so it was extra worrying, right? She might have been flooded by cries of need for milk and all those sorts of things. But he turned to me, and, you know, I'll get to it, but he said, why do you worry about things that are out of your control? He said, do we not have enough faith that our God has things in his hands and that it's in his control? And I said, hang on, mate, I'm meant to be preaching to you, not to me. No, I didn't actually say that. But the thing is it challenged me. It actually challenged me. And I'm sick. And he asked the question, why is it that a guy like me can pray five times a day and yet have anxiety and worry? And a guy like his brother-in-law cannot pray, sorry, not me praying five times a day, my friend Nadim praying five times a day, compared to his brother-in-law who doesn't pray, yet he doesn't seem to worry about anything. And I'm sitting there going, oh boy, I got to answer this from the Bible somehow. I tried. I pulled something out for him. But then I went home and I just went, I've got to look into this. I've got to understand this better for myself. You know, can I accept that I'm a person who worries, stresses, and fears? The Bible tells me, do not worry, be anxious for nothing, do not fear. Yet I feel all of these things at times. So, you know, it's kind of relevant to us moving into a position of leadership in a church. Can God even use me if I've got these issues that I'm carrying, these weaknesses that I'm carrying? And I have no doubt that every single one of us feels some weakness at times. You know, we face these challenges. And we may not be aware of it. We may need help from others to point out things that we maybe feel that we shouldn't be. And maybe some of us are completely aware of our weaknesses, but over the years we may have become a little bit stubborn about them. We've just learned to accept them. Well, that's the way my dad was, so that's the way I am. That's the way my mum was, so that's the way I am. You know, and we don't necessarily have to accept these generational weaknesses that get passed down from parent to child, right? But the problem with weaknesses is that they can cause us to stumble into sin. The other thing is they can cause us to disqualify ourselves from the call of God on our lives. And that's my challenge. You know, and when I think of someone in the Bible, and I'd actually been recently starting the Bible again, Genesis through, and I was reading Exodus and I thought of Moses, a man who was called by God and yet showed his weakness very obviously to God, and he even asked for God to send someone else. Yet, we all know, hopefully, the story of Moses, the life of Moses, and how it turned out. So I'll turn over to Susan now to share the life of Moses with us.
So the life of Moses can be found in Exodus and also in Acts 7. And in this message, we've divided his life into three periods of time. The first one is 40 years of time in Egypt, 40 years in time in Midian, and 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was born a Hebrew, but raised an Egyptian. In Acts 7:22, it says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. This tells us that Moses was educated as an Egyptian. He was immersed in their culture, and also he would have been worshipping Egyptian gods, or at least being in the services, in the worship services that they did to them. And therefore, we can see that he didn't know God Almighty, the God of the Hebrews, Yahweh, on a personal level. And when he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, what did he do? He killed him. He took matters into his own hands. And although he had good intentions, he had bad execution. And it was not aligned with the will of God, the will of God Almighty, Yahweh. So when Pharaoh heard this, he chased him out of Egypt. Moses found himself in a place called Midian. And the Midianites were descendants of Abraham. And he lived there for 40 years in the house of his father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian. We can imagine that in those 40 years, he would have been pruning his character. He would have been learning the ways of his ancestors. He would have been immersed in their culture. He would have been changing from an Egyptian to an Israelite. However, he still did not know God on a personal level. And in Exodus 3:6, we see that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush. It says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry." Verse 10, "Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses, what did he reply? He said, "Who am I?" He was full of fear, full of doubt. And he had insecurities like what Ben was saying. But the one thing that God did, he didn't say, "Okay, I won't send you anymore." He said, "Okay, let's work together. I'm going to send help." And so Moses left Midian. He went to Egypt. And as he was talking to the Pharaoh, God spoke to him and revealed him another side of God to him. In Exodus 6:3, it says, "God spoke to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them.'" And so this is a pivotal point in Moses' life, and not just Moses' life, but in the life of the Israelites. No longer was God just this overarching God that the Hebrews believed in. He now had become their Lord. And I did a bit of research, and from the Hebraic perspective, Lord means not just somebody that rules over somebody else. Lord to them means a protector and a provider. And so now God became God Almighty and also Lord. He started a personal relationship with Moses. And we can see this in his 40 years in the wilderness. God was a provider. When they ran out of food, God gave them manna. When they were cold at night, God gave them a pillar of fire to guide them and to keep them warm. And during the day, he was their protector. He provided a cloud so that they wouldn't get scorched and kept them cool and protected. And so we can see that through the journey of Moses' life, he went from being pagan to getting to know God, to then getting to know him on a personal level. And it is through the relationship that we can see Moses change. We can see that he became confident. And by the end of the story, we can see that he actually didn't need Aaron to speak to the people. He himself spoke to them. And he even rebuked them at times. Imagine the confidence, the change in his character, the change in the... And it's all because of the relationship that he had with God.
Thanks, Sue. So, as some points of reflection, some key points for us to receive as encouragement from the story of Moses this morning. Moses was not made perfect on his first encounter with God. God did not miraculously change him and say, "Right, you had weakness, now you're strong. Let's go. Let's do what we need to do." No, because if God did, I bet Moses would have very quickly forgotten that he needed God's help to show him through the journey. Amen. Our weakness reminds us of our need for God's power and strength in our lives. So as Doc was sharing before, you know, let's be thankful that, you know, hallelujah to us when we have weakness, when we have fear, it reminds us that we need God all the more. The other thing is that God didn't tell Moses all of the details of the plan that he had for him. Imagine walking 2 million people through the desert for 40 years and all the issues that you'd face along the way, and you had fear already, and God said, well, this is what you're going to do next. You would freak out and you'd say, absolutely not. I don't care if you send me an Aaron. I don't care if you give me a staff. I'm not doing it. But God is in the details so that we don't need to be. The other thing is that God did not tell Moses that he would overcome his weakness. At no point did he say, I will make you strong. I will help you to overcome your confidence issues, your speech issues, your leadership lacks. He didn't tell him that. He needed Moses to walk with him and have a pure and true faith in him, to know that God would look after the details and look after the development of him, even though he probably thought he just wasn't enough. And as a final encouragement this morning, I'd like to share Romans 8:25-8. It says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. See, since the time of Moses, we have this great blessing of God having poured out his Spirit upon all of us. It actually makes a partnership with God more accessible than it was in the time of Moses. We have access to the same power that Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt with. Moses lived for 80 years hoping for freedom for himself and for his people. We can have that kind of freedom today in ourselves through the grace of Jesus Christ. Moses didn't know what to ask God for. When God came to him, he just complained and said, I can't do it. Please send someone else. You know, I have so many lackings. But he just needed to ask God, God, I believe that you can overcome my fear. I believe that you can come overcome my anxiousness, my doubt, my low confidence. You know, and here it says that the Spirit will intercede for us. He knows what we need. God knew what Moses needed. The other thing is that the Spirit of God revealed to Moses and led him into his purpose. That's what the Spirit does for us today, leads us into our purpose. He pulls our hearts towards what God wants for our lives. And we can see that when Moses aligned with the will of God, the Spirit worked through him and with him for the good of himself and for the people that were with him. And that's what we have an opportunity today, is to partner with God, with the Spirit of God, so that we can benefit not only ourselves. It is about, you know, us at the end of the day, but it is more about the people around us. We love others through the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God. So let's partner with God this morning and just help ourselves to overcome our weakness by believing in him. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather as a church this morning. We thank you that we have the freedom, Lord, to worship you and to listen to your word, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can go out this week and be empowered, Lord, and encouraged in our walk with you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for each other. We thank you for this community. We thank you for the love that we feel in this place. And Lord, we just pray that you just take us from strength to strength and be with us this week as we go into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we thank these guys? Thank you.